I don't hear the music.
All right, everybody, do me a favor. Put your hands together.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever
true.
Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
Hello?
You're on the air live, Evangelist Scott.
I'm sorry. I'm having technical difficulties with my phone, but praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. When I clicked over, I heard music, and when I came back, the music was gone. But anyway, praise the Lord. I just want to say welcome to Brother Dre, yay. Purified Daughter, yay. Revival Fire, yay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just want to tell everybody, hi. I'm excited, but I'm a little off tonight. But Jesus is Lord, so it doesn't matter because it's going to go off. The program's going to go like it's supposed to go. And you know, the name of the broadcast on tonight is called, stop doing this computer, it's called From Ho to Holy and Drunk to Filled with God's Spirit. So if anybody in the chat room has anything to say about that, can you say so now? Because I had something in my mind that I wanted to talk about, and it's basically I was listening to somebody else's Blog Talk Radio, and I was listening to how people are really getting delivered and getting set free. And they're getting set, people are getting set free because they're hearing the word of other people's testimonies. It's not something that people want to just walk around and say, okay, well, this bad happened and this bad happened in my life. No. Talking to people so that they can get delivered and understand that you're not the only person that's going through whatever it is that you're going through. Specifically, the name of the broadcast tonight is From Ho to Holy, is because I don't know if I want to say I was a hoe, but I was out there. And I know people that are still out there that are trying to get their lives together. But I know for a surety that God is not a respecter of persons. And I know that if I let them know what God did for me and let them know that he's no respecter of persons, he will do the same thing for you if you ask him. If you're ready to stop living a life of sin and allow Jesus to come in and change your life, if you allow Jesus to come in and give you a new mind, give you a new way of thinking, he will come in and do it. And that doesn't have to just do with being a hoe. That has to do with anything in our lives that is against God, anything that we do. It might be looking at a woman the wrong way. It might be lying. It could be stealing. It could be anything. But God wants us all to come out of darkness into his marvelous light. He wants us all, he even wants us to come out of spiritual whoredom, because we're going around doing things that we're not supposed to be doing as the body of Christ. We done found other lovers. We done found other things to take the place of Jesus Christ. So we've become spiritual whores, right? And some people, they want to look at, you know, being a whore. Okay, that's somebody who goes around and spread her legs and sleep with this person, sleep with that person. But there's a such thing as a spiritual whore. Hallelujah. And I believe that the body of Christ is acting like spiritual whore right now. You know, going around spreading their legs, just doing everything they want to do. Walking around with two heads. Don't nobody know who's supposed to be the head. Everybody trying to be the head. Everybody trying to be this and trying to be that. Not called, just went. You know what I mean? And God is wanting us to come into right standing with him. He wants the body to come back to him. We were talking with someone this morning, or listening to someone. My days are mixed up, but I believe it was yesterday. We were talking to someone, I think it was Brother Dre. We were talking about how people, you know, get filled with the Holy Ghost, but, you know, you have some people saying they got filled with the Holy Ghost and they rolling around on the floor, or people saying they getting demon, you know, getting freed from demons and they rolling around on the floor acting crazy. You know what? In the Spirit of God, I don't believe the Spirit of God acts unseemly. I do not believe the Spirit of God goes in people's churches and tear people's churches up. I don't believe the Spirit of God is going to go in people's churches and knock your pews down and tear all your pews apart, put giant holes in your walls and all of that. I believe a lot of stuff that people do is out of the flesh. And then, but you want to call it, I'm drunk in the spirit. Well, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I don't know, a lot of the stuff that we do, I don't even know where it came from. If y'all could tell me, I got G-Man Scott, God bless you, honey, in the chat room. I mean, you're listening to this, all of y'all, Purified Daughter, you're on the line. I mean, if somebody tell me something that's going on about this spiritual whoredom and the natural whoredom and being drunk in the spirit and being filled with the spirit. Like, we just take things and we just take them and make them to our own understanding. The Bible says be filled with the spirit. Be filled with the spirit. So what are we doing in the body of Christ? Why are we giving ourselves away to other gods? Why are we going whoring after other gods? And, you know, you might say, well, I didn't make no graven image or, you know, anything like that. I'm not bowing down to, you know, a god or anything. Yes, anything that comes before the Almighty God, yes, you are bowing down to it. And this particular time of the year, you know, we're coming on Christmas. People making sure they're getting their Christmas trees. People are making sure they, you know, getting their presents, and they're going to bow down and put those presents underneath those Christmas trees. And folks going to get mad if they don't have anything to put underneath those Christmas trees. And a lot of places is going to be a big old problem. But the same way people bow down to that Christmas tree and put presents under that Christmas tree, the same way we bow down to anything that comes before God, any person that comes before God, anything, TV, radio, internet, husband, wife, children, anything that we spend more time with and put before God, then that has become our God. That's caused us to do spiritual whoredom. I don't know if anybody agrees with that. I don't see anybody in the chat room waving at me. I don't hear anybody on the phone line talking. Actually, it's just me and Purified Daughter right now on the phone line. So I guess it's not going to be too many people saying anything on the phone. But come on now. If God told his people Israel, he kept telling his people to repent of their sins. Israel continuously backslid. Israel didn't even want to obey God. They wanted a king. They wanted a judge. They wanted a king. They wanted a judge. They wanted somebody because they didn't want to listen to God. They didn't want to listen to the priests. They didn't want to listen to them. That whatever the priest was telling them must have been too hard because they didn't want to listen to them. Now they had to have a judge. Now they got to have a king. Now what you heaped up on yourself, you got a king. Now you got all kind of problems. You got one problem after another, after another, after another. But we go whoring after other gods, and then when we get those other things, you get one problem after another, one problem after another, one problem after another. You know, now it used to be keeping up with the Joneses. Now we're trying to keep up with the Kardashians. Whatever the Kardashians say, that's what go. Whatever, you know what I'm saying? It's just everything now is coming before God, and we are committing spiritual whoredom. I need to know, is anybody agreeing with me?
I agree with you.
Okay, well, then you can talk right now because
I totally agree with you. I like to start with the Word of God. I'm just going to first start with the Word and go from there because I'm a true believer that you can't go wrong with the Word. Proverbs 22 and 15 says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him. It's not that God has not disciplined us. First of all, children are born with a sinful nature. And when I say children, let me just say this straight here. I'm talking about if you're an infant, if you're 30 years old, if you're 40 years old, if you're 90 years old, 100 years old, regardless of how old you are, you still a child in the eyes of God. You're an obedient child or you're a rebellious child, one of the two. I've never read anywhere in the Bible, anywhere in Scripture, anywhere in doctrine, where it says anything about adults or grown folks, grown people, anything of that nature, so you're still a child. But we have here two very sad considerations. I mean, one, corrupt is woven into our nature. It's in our nature, regardless of how you want to put it, how you want to say it. Sin is foolishness. Yes, the people of God has committed adultery, still is committing adultery against God, God way of doing things, anything that leads us closer to God. Why? Are they aware that they're doing that? Perhaps, perhaps not. Well, the older ones, once you become your child, you're to learn, you're to grow, you're to mature. And once they get to that point of maturity, full maturity, they should know better. They should already know to do the right thing. They should already know, according to Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, everything that they want. But they still do not want to do that because their foolishness is bound in their heart. Their foolishness is bound inside of them. It doesn't matter if a person grew up physically. They could still be foolishly a child intellectually. You see it all the time. You have adults 30, 40, 50 years old, and they still acting like 7, 8-year-olds, 17-year-olds, 20-year-olds. What happened? What happened with these people? The reason why their physical body grew up so fast to that their minds and their hearts stayed small? That's the question that we really should be trying to answer here. And I think that we can get to the point, Evangelist, on why is America and God's children still doing the things that they're doing that is contrary to the word of God, when God plainly has told them not to do these things and there are consequences for doing these things. Why? Why do we continue to go out and place idols before the Most High God? He himself is holy. You know, without holiness, no man shall see God. You will not. Why? Why do we continue to go out? And I believe Brother Dre and I was talking about this on this morning. Why do people continue to go around and commit murder? Why do they continue to steal? Why do they continue to do all these things? The Ten Commandments plainly say these are 10 things that we should not do. Over in the New Testament, it breaks it down into the two commandments. You know, love God with all your heart is the first commandment, and love your neighbor as you will love yourself is the second commandment. Why are people continuously to do these things? You want to know why? I said it this morning to Brother Dre, and I'll say it again on open broadcast. They continue to do these things simply. People, you either converted or you're not. If you're converted, you will do the things that is pleasing according to the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. You will have the fruit of the Spirit. You will have the nature of the Spirit. And if you're not converted and you continue to do these things and you're walking around still talking about, oh, I'm a Christian, oh, you know, I just made a mistake, you know, you're just making qualifiers. That's all you're doing, just placing qualifiers there. You're just making excuses. First of all, you're not saved. You are of your father, the devil, the father of lies. John 8, chapter 8. That's what it's just that simple. It boils down. You know I'm cut and dry, Evangelist. There is no gray areas with me. I'm like black, white. The word of God, it is what it is. I mean, I love, I'm compassionate, but when it comes to the word, I'm going to speak the truth because I would rather speak the truth to someone and they become angry with me for a short period of time, but it caused them to have eternal life with Christ Jesus than to speak a lie with someone and they're still on the wrong road being condemned, going to hell.
Well, personally, I think that it's a bad witness. It's a bad watchman on the wall, if you want to call them that, who would want to tickle somebody's flesh and all the time letting them go to hell. I believe that even the people that do that are going to have consequences to pay for that. You're allowing somebody to go to hell. The truth needs to be told, and I've said it on broadcast over and over again. I would question my salvation. I would really question my salvation if I continue to do the things that I did before I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If I'm still doing the same thing, I mean, a lifestyle, it's the same thing that I said I confessed Jesus about, I got to question my salvation.
Because
I have not renewed myself. I have not renewed the spirit of my mind with the word of God. I have not taken on anything. There's no evidence that Jesus done came into my life and made me a new creation. There's no evidence if I'm still doing the same things that I was doing before. But you got people saying that you can still do that and still go to heaven.
Well, people are going to be saying that to the day Christ returns. And you know what? I'm here to let people know that Revelation is very clear on hell. And it was not meant for the children of God. It wasn't. But since they continue to be disobedient, they're going to find out exactly just how warm it is. For a matter of fact, the bosoms of hell has expanded. It has grown. It has grown. But what they don't realize is that they're not only hurting themselves, but they're hurting and they're being a hindrance to everyone. I mean seriously. 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says that our lives are echoing the Master's word. How could your life echo the Master's word? Well, you're not even living the lifestyle to represent the Master, God himself. It says that the news of our faith in God is out. Yes, the news is out there, but you know what? What about their testimony? What about each and every last one of us have a testimony? We have a testimony. Revelation chapter 12 talks about the purpose of our testimony. In the other part of 1 Thessalonians 1:8 says that we don't even have to say anything anymore. It gets to the point now that Revelation talks about your testimony and what it's used for. But now Thessalonians says that you don't have to say anything anymore because you are the message. You're the message. That's why you have people look and say, oh, I didn't know there was a Christian. Look how they living. They ain't living no better than us. You're the message. Is that the message that you want to be putting out to people that is in darkness, that do not know Christ Jesus himself? You know? Is that just the bottom line? I can ask like 4 separate questions tonight, and that would just, we'll just go ahead and solve up the whole, you know, message tonight. Tell me something about your life. What is the story of your life? That's your testimony. If I'm a Christian and I tell people my testimony, my life, it should be something inside of my testimony that will cause that person to think, if I die today, where will I spend eternity? What I'm doing right now, is it pleasing unto God? If I was placed on the face of this earth to worship God, to be created in the image of God, what I'm doing right now, is it pleasing God? Is it in the image of God? My testimony, does it tell a story of my faith? And does my testimony lead someone else to come into grace? And does my testimony empower someone else to tell the story of their life, to change their life to be better and lead other people to grace, by grace to God? I mean, that's just what it all boils down to. Regardless of how you choose to live, what you choose to do, our whole entire life should be a reflection of leading people back to God. Because the Bible says in Acts 1:8 that, but when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit and it come upon you, we should be witnesses. You know, we should be a witness inside of us in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the end of the earth. You know, but also that same Holy Spirit, when he comes inside of you, you're supposed to change. You really do. You don't supposed to have the Holy Spirit and still going out there dancing to the same music, still going out there sleeping with the same people. You know, you really wearing the same thing, doing the same. You do not. You're supposed to change. And people say, well, oh, you know, prophetess Cassandra, Cassandra, purified daughter, however they want to address me. It takes a process to change. You know, it may do take a process, but the reason why you have not changed is not because the process has not begun. You have not changed because you have not made a decision in your mind and in your heart to change. You're the own hindrance to that change. It's time to change. If God redeemed you, then let the Redeemer say so. But you can't be a Redeemer and say that God has redeemed me because you have not changed from your old ways of doing things, your old way of thinking. It's time to change, people.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
And I'm asking this question for a very specific reason, because I've had this conversation with people over and over again over several years. And I would say to people, you know, you made a conscious decision to say that you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life. Some have even said that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Yes, I have the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, how long have you been saved? How long have you confessed Jesus as your Lord? Well, about 3 or 4 years. Okay, but you haven't changed? You haven't done any, I mean, exactly what you were doing before, you're still doing this. I don't understand. Well, it takes time, like you said earlier, it takes time to change. You shouldn't expect me to change like you did because I'm not you. And my circumstances are different than whatever your circumstances were. So how can you judge me and tell me that I should have been, you know, I should not be doing the same thing I was doing before because I need a little bit more time?
So what's the question?
The question is, how do you deal with somebody like that? Because apparently my approach is not working.
Okay, how do you deal with someone that says that my situation and my circumstances is not like yours and, you know, what cause you to change may not cause me to change?
Yeah, like their basic thing is, well, I'm going to get there one day, but right now I'm not ready to stop doing this and I'm not ready to stop doing that, so it's going to take time.
You know what? First of all, I will just start out by, first of all, loving that person. Love is the key to everything. Just be downright real. We're not here to beat up on anyone. I'm not here to beat up on anyone. No one is better than anyone. You just simply start by loving that person. And you, if the person's going to start out by asking you that question, believe me, they already have the answer. Another qualifier, another excuse. You have to listen to the qualifiers. You have to listen to the excuses. That's what you have to do. Because I'm a firm believer that if someone wants something bad enough, they'll do whatever it takes. You know, if they don't have a job, and if they need to pay their bills, they don't have a car, they're going to get out and start walking to the job interview. If they want to go get their hair done, and it's a choice between their hair done and paying the light bill, you know what? They're going to go get their hair done and going to try to call to the utility place to get an extension on the light bill. If they're not married to that man, they're going to go and put on the nicest outfit they have, the good-smelling cologne perfume that they have, and they're going to go out and try to do whatever they can do to seduce that man. So let me tell you something. It's all about what's important. That's what it's all about. What's important? What's important to you right now? What's really the most important thing to you right now? To me, the most important thing was to enter into a relationship with Jesus at that time because I had done everything that I thought I was big and bad enough to do. Everything. It got to a point to where I didn't have a reason to live for myself no more because I had done everything that I wanted to do. Everything. Broke all the Ten Commandments several times. So many I lost count. What's important? I would just simply take them to the word.
And I do that. So I think that now that It's not that I think. I know that we are so living in the last days. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. Nobody knows when he's going to return. But I don't want to take the chance of not being ready when he gets here. I don't want to take that chance. I don't want to say it's too late. I mean, I'm working on this at my own pace. I recently discovered that I have to go to somebody and apologize to them. Well, they have an ought against me. Let me say that. And I actually do have an ought against them that I realize I've been holding on for 8 years. The Bible tells us to love. You said that earlier, that we're supposed to love. The Bible also tells us that we need to forgive. If we don't forgive others, then Christ is not going to forgive us. So, in speaking with somebody this week, I was talking about this person, and I got very heated when I was talking about them. And she said, "You haven't forgiven them." And in my mind, I said, "I forgave them." But just in talking about that person, I realized I hadn't forgiven them. So I was listening to somebody else talk, and I don't know if it was you, Prophetess, or who it was, but I heard someone saying that, you know, we expect people to forgive us, but we forget what we've done to other people. Mm-hmm. There's many people that we have hurt in our lives that we've done things to, and never going back to them and said, you know what, I did X, Y, Z, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I really do apologize for that. And, you know, in reading some things, a lot of times, and, you know, Prophetess, you and I had this conversation as well, that sometimes sickness, we hold on to sickness in our bodies because we're unrepentant and we don't forgive people. So, like, the last week or so, every time I turn around, I'm remembering something that I did to someone that I need to, if I can get to that person, ask them to forgive me. If not, I'm just going to repent to God and say, look, Lord, I'm really sorry. If you want me to get to this person, let me know where they are so I can get to them so I can repent, so I can ask them to forgive me. These are the kind of things that keep people out of the kingdom because pride doesn't allow for people to go and do things like that, especially when somebody's done something to you. The Bible says if you know that a brother or sister has an ought against you, leave your offering at the altar and go make that thing right. We don't like to make the things right. We want to do things our way. We want to do it our way. But again, what makes me think is that the Son of Man, Jesus, is coming back one day. I don't know when he's coming back. I don't want to be running around talking about, Jesus, wait a minute, I got to go say I'm sorry to this person and ask them to forgive me, or I got to go over here and say I'm sorry and ask this person to forgive me. I don't want to be running around and say, Jesus, wait a minute, I got to do this and I got to, because he's not, you think he's going to wait?
You know, I want you to hold on 1 second. Let's go to the chat room.
I'm serious.
Oh, that's all right there. 1 second. Hold it. We're going to come back to that. Just hold it. Let's go to the chat room and see what our people are saying. All right. Brother Dre said, talked about Jeremiah 29:13. We were talking about the people asking the questions. And, you know, basically I was talking about the qualifiers, and he said that Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. Amen. And G-Man says that I believe that we are all guilty of not putting God first. The word says, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself would not be disqualified. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Awesome. 1 Corinthians 9:27. He also went on to say, and when we talk about discipline our bodies, we only think about the monster sins. But God included the little foxes as well.
That's his mantle right now. Jeez.
We're not to let anything divert our attention away from the master's work by worldly pleasures and amusements. Amen. That is so true. That is so true. So that will answer your question.
Now, G-Man, I know you. We live in the same household. You should be able to hear me too, because there's a delay on the internet. But I'm going to ask this question right here. Two, I love. We talk about the little foxes all the time. The little foxes. When he does his Bible studies here, he talks about the little foxes that spoil the vine, and then he said the monster sin. And I'm glad he brought up the point about monster sins, because to God, sin is sin. See, we want to qualify sin. We want to say, okay, well, I'm not a homosexual, so, you know, it's not that bad. You know, we want to say I'm not a whoremonger, so it's not that bad. You know, I just lie, you know, or I backbite, I murder with my tongue. That's not bad. You know, but sin is sin to God, and sin stinks in his nostrils. And we walk around playing around. I truly believe that we need to get back to preaching the fear of God. I believe that we need to get back to preaching the fear of God, because people have taken God and made him to be a little toy boy or somebody, you know, this is just my big brother, or they use daddy in such a loose sense. Because back in the day when somebody had a daddy and daddy spoke, you did what daddy said. You didn't question daddy. You didn't give daddy no lip, okay? You didn't try to overrule daddy. Whatever daddy said, that's what you did, okay? And you had respect for your daddy. You had respect for your father back in the day. I'm talking about back in the day, all right? Nowadays, people have gotten their parental rights taken away from them from the government. Because the government tells you, you know, you can't do this to your child and you can't do that to your child, or else DHS is going to step in and take away your child. So the rights are now given to the children to disrespect their parents and do what they want to do. Well, in the same vein, you know, we just do what we want to do to God and expect him to accept it. God says, thou shalt not steal. We're going around stealing and doing whatever we want to do. We steal on our taxes. We steal on, you know, whatever. We, you know, some people go to the store and get food and hide it under their clothes, or some people know they can go to a certain cashier, you know, and that cashier going to give them some extra stuff in their bag. But to God, that's sin. That's stealing. You might think it's okay, but God said, no, that's not good. Okay? But it's the little things, the little leaven that leavens the lump. We're going around doing things and think it's okay. The liar is going around saying, y'all can do whatever you want to do, because in the end, everybody's going to heaven. We got to start preaching the fear of God. Fear God in reverence, but fear God because God is the same God of the Old Testament. He's the same God of the Old Testament. He came down and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Did he not do that?
Sure did.
Is he the same God? Is that the same God we serve today that destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Are we still serving the same God that only 8 people were saved on the ark? Are we serving that same God? We act like it's a different God that we're serving now because we're living in under a new covenant. So we need to get back to preaching who God is. Folk don't have a relationship with God. Folk have a relationship with, they call it a form of godliness. They have a pseudo relationship with God. You know, you only know God on the surface. You don't even go a little bit deeper to know God. Because the deeper we go in God, the more sin is going to come off of us. The deeper we go in God, the more we're going to realize that he doesn't like us whoring around with other things. He doesn't like us putting other gods before him. He's a jealous God, he says. He said, I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God.
Amen.
Jealous. Visiting the iniquities. So the iniquities are going to come upon us if we don't serve God. This is from the third or fourth generation. But we sin, we're teaching our children to sin. A lot of us are young grandmothers, so we're going to be young great-grandmothers. And, I mean, if we're not in Christ,
They don't have to be. They don't have to be young great-grandmothers because they are young grandmothers.
They don't have to be, but I'm saying, if you just look at the pattern that's going on now, I'm saying that mothers are being younger, grandmothers are being younger, great-grandmothers are being younger. I'm just saying that in that respect, because it is happening. But the point of the fact is if you got a 13-year-old that's a mother, and then, you know, her child grows up, and she's 13 years old, and she has a child, now this 13-year-old, she hasn't been taught anything. Now she's teaching her child what? Nothing. What's that child going to teach their child? Nothing.
Okay, but stop right there. That's why we are here. That's why we are the message. They may not get it inside of their homes with their parents, but I believe in the word of God. Be careful because some have been called entertaining angels. You may be Evangelist Scott on this line, and to me, but to someone else, you may be an angel. And it's your testimony testifies to what God has done in your life and what you've gone through, maybe something that that child's parent have gone through because that child have heard their parents talk about it for God knows how long. And whereas that parent may not be the person to reach that child to change that generation, but since you are the message, you're the one that delivering the testimony, your testimony could be the one to change that child. So that's why I say they don't have to be.
It doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be. They may not get it inside of the home, but they sure could get it, you know, on the job, somebody there being a light on the job to speak words of life to that individual, somebody being at the bus stop, someone being at the train station. I was at the doctor's office on yesterday, and a woman just swore Almighty God on the stack of Bibles that she knew me. I mean, this woman we're talking about, she's about, 75 years old, and she said that in 1986 she worked with me, and I was an insurance person. I'll say 1986, I was how old? Probably not even 15 years old. Okay. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't me. But you know what? It didn't stop me from carrying on a conversation with her. And it didn't stop me to seize the opportunity in the moment because the doctor's office was extremely filled, and every word came out of my mouth, Jesus Christ was attached to it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank you. Jesus is Lord. Yes. And what did you do now? Praise God. Jesus, you know you're so great. Jesus really empowered you to make all that money, every single word. So if they didn't remember anything else in the conversation, they remember Jesus, the name Jesus.
And I think that's important. That's extremely important because you might be the only Jesus that somebody sees. You know, it might be. You don't know. And my husband is in a wheelchair. He uses a motorized wheelchair to get around outside. And he uses that wheelchair as a testimony. When he goes out, he's always cheerful to people. He always speaks to people, whether they speak to him or not. He makes people laugh. People that have been down for whatever reason, you know, by the time he gets finished talking with them, I guess they're ready to give their lives to Christ. I don't know if they do, but he goes out in this world and he makes a difference in the world, and that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be the light of the world. He might not never say anything about accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but something's different about that man. Something's different about that man. I want what he has. I want what he has. And I believe that God will send somebody else to minister to them so that they can accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But if we're out there bitter and acting all crazy and, you know, not showing that light like you had on your page for a few days, not being that light sitting on a hill, then how are we going to expect people to become born again? How are we going to expect that? And then the last days, anyway, I'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Okay, well, you know what? How do we expect people to become saved? That's not even our power. I'm just going to be honest with you. 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7, see what it says. Let's flip over there. All right, here. Give me a second to get here. You all don't mind. Bear with me. I'm starting to get old here. Old in my hands. Can't type as fast as I used to. Okay. And we can read out of any translation that there is to read out of. I personally like to keep it simple. I have all sorts of Bibles, but I just like to stay with just a simple version so people could really understand. Because in all thy getting, we should get understanding. if we've done this talk show for 2 hours tonight and no one really understood what we were saying, it was just basically in vain. It really was.
Well, we know it's not going to be in vain.
Exactly. I planted the seed, 1 Corinthians 3 and 6, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow.
And that's what we believe.
So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Only God. We can't save them. We can't force them.
Sure can.
We can't. Ain't nothing in our power, not even the most manipulating thing that the human heart can put out there to cause people to change what they're doing. We can be so manipulative, we cannot change them. We can be so loving and kind and caring and giving to them and blessing them and just being just like, you know, Mother Teresa. We can't change them.
Nope.
The only thing that we as Christians can do is plant water. Someone has come by to water. God will gather the crop and God will bring them in. We can be a light. We can be Matthew 5, 13 and 14. We can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We can just be what God created us to be. There's a purpose for everything. The book of Ecclesiastes talks about up under the sun. And I'm saying this because somebody, it's really when you're out there trying to talk to people, there are some people out there that are just so caught up into their mindset and doing what they want to do. They can have you walking away questioning your own salvation when you start talking to them. If you really don't know, if you really don't have a word, you know the word of God tells us that in 1 Peter 3:15-16 that we should be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks us to explain the hope that we have in us, but with gentleness and respect. That's the key. Those are the key words right there, with gentleness and respect. Can't force them. Their time. They may be in a season just somebody's being planted. And that planting season may be 5 years, maybe 5 days, maybe 5 months. And that water season may just be one day. It may just take one day somebody come by and water it, and that person just instantly right there say those magic words, I am a sinner.
Yeah, because we can't force anybody to be saved. We can't force anybody to change their lives. The people that have already accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, we can't force them to change. We can't force anybody to change. Again, none of us are God. None of us have ever been God or will be God. But there's erroneous teachings out there, and I'm saying this because I was a part of it. When there was one church that I went to, and we used to do street ministry. And we did street ministry, but we would get kind of testy if we would give the word of God to these people and they would refuse it. Like, excuse me? You're refusing the word of God? Oh, or just tell people straight up, oh, you're going to hell. We didn't have any right to tell anybody they were going to hell because of what they were doing at that time, because we didn't know if their lives were going to change later on down the line or not. But that was our thing. You're going to hell because you're doing this and you're doing that. But that was because we were immature in the word. We didn't know any better. We were immature in witnessing. We were just out there because we were told we had to do it, but we weren't doing it right. Telling people, condemning people to hell. And now I'm going to ask God to forgive me for that, because I don't know if I turned somebody totally away from God for doing that or not. I don't know if I caused somebody to fall away from what they thought about God. I don't know if I did that or not. But that just came to my mind that, you know, we do have to be careful about the things that we say to people when we're witnessing to them, because like you said, you can't force anybody to do anything. Nobody forced me to get saved. I mean, a guy bugged me and bugged me and bugged me until I finally said yes, but he didn't force me to be saved.
You know, Gina and Scott, Apostle Scott, your husband, put in the chat room Hebrews 12 and 15. And I'm going to read that from the King James Version. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and that thereby may be defiled.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. I heard you say something that really troubled me. So big deal. And I'm saying that not like I'm boasting or anything like that, because I'm not. You could only reach someone from your level of knowledge or wisdom according to God. You were out there evangelizing, doing what you were taught to do. That's why it's very important now that we know that we don't learn from every book except the holy book, the holy Bible book. It may have a holy book up there, but it may not be the Bible. The Bible. Once we start to learn from the Bible, and the Bible is very clear on teaching us everything that we need to know, everything. I hear people a lot saying how they go out to evangelize and how they go out to do things, and they go out talking to people about evangelism and the places that they have to go. I've never one time in my entire life has the Spirit of the Lord led me into a crack place or to a prostitute place. Now, what he has done, he has led those people across my path. And I never started out by asking those people, are you saved, or what, you know, where you're going to go. It was just automatically something that that person was going through and that they were dealing with, that I myself have become an overcomer of that. And I was simply just able to share my testimony with that person. That's it. That's the way the Lord gave me to evangelize to people.
Mm-hmm.
I was just simply able to walk up to the person, you know, and start loving on them and, you know, just listening to what they have to say. 99.9% of the time, they just want you to hear what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Give them their ear when they hear what you have to say in my walk as far as evangelizing. And then I was just able to just, you know, let them know, you know, can I just share my testimony with you? I'll just, you know, let you know a little something that I went through. And I don't sit there and hold up all day and tell them everything from birth to death, or, you know, birth to death again. I just simply tell them that part of my life that I went through, how God was able to help me. And then the Holy Spirit at that moment always opened up the door for me to be able to offer the gift of Christ to them.
Mm-hmm.
If they refuse, you know what? I recognize what season I was in. I'm stressing that so importantly. And have you noticed that my conversation have not changed? I've been sticking with Revelation 12 and 11, and I've been sticking with 1 Corinthians. I'm talking about planting and watering. It's very important. Those seasons are so, so important, because they open up doors for us to be able to do all those great things that we want to do. And before long, those signs and wonders that we want to see, they will begin to follow us. They will. They will. I just try to stay so humble. I really do. I try to look at people like, you know what, I was in their shoes. And when they're standing there talking to me, sometimes it's very emotional, that I have to just almost like travel myself back through their shoes again. How could we reach someone if we are so high above them, or, you know, we're just so far off in a left field, or something like that? I try to be real and tell how God helped me through the situation so I can be a blessing to that individual in their lives. You know, to tell how powerful God was in my life, you know, and share the benefit of all the glory. Because first time you go there and start talking to people about God, somebody receiving Jesus, you going to hell and all this stuff right here, you know, they're going to automatically think about, oh, well, God destroyed the whole entire world. God don't love nobody. But, you know, no. That's not it. That is not it. I try to remind them of how God has worked everything out for their good when he sent his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, for the whole entire world, because he loved them so very much. And I'm not just saying this because we're on the broadcast show. This is real. This is real stuff. These people need love. That's what they need. This is real, real stuff.
Well, I believe in what you said, that you know, people need love. And like you said earlier, the Bible says that one plants, one waters, and God gives the increase. I've seen different types of ministry. I've seen different ways people minister to people, for people to get born again. I've seen those kind of things, you know, in different aspects. What I want to say now is what I said earlier, is that I believe the body of Christ needs to get back to preaching about God and who he really is, because we, going back to from ho to holy, we are out here whoring. And if people don't want to say we're out here whoring, we're acting like little bastard kids. And some of us just act like we still downright belong to the devil. Now, you just can't get no plainer than that. Some of us act just like we still belong to the devil. We don't act like we had a Romans 12, 1 and 2 experience at all. We don't act like we had the being filled with the Holy Ghost at all. We just act like God has to accept this, and I really have a problem with this. That we, the way we act, we treat God like, this is how I'm going to act because you know me, so you're going to accept this because this is who I am. And then, after all is said and done, you're going to let me in heaven.
Well, you know, if Jesus didn't condemn folks, why we go around and condemning people?
It's not even about condemning people. It's not even about condemning people. It's about, now, you, there has to be a balance. The Word of God lets us know, in the book of Ezekiel, also, if God says to say something to somebody and you don't say it, if you don't say it to them, you're going to be held responsible for that.
Yes, but it's not about what they're saying. It's how they are saying it. And
exactly.
That's where the body of Christ falls short at. They fall short in... they need to just start loving. That's all they need to do. The body of Christ needs to just develop the fruit of love. That's what they need. And they need to know how to speak things to people. They need to know that they need to speak things in gentleness and love and kindness. Through love and kindness have I drawn thee. That's what we as the body, I don't care how sharp we say it, how powerful our voice carrying we say it, how strong and mighty, it doesn't matter. All that doesn't matter. What matters is in what manner did you say it. People respond to what they can relate to. If someone says something to me in love and I know I'm wrong, then you know what, they're going to get my attention. They're going to get my attention. Soft answers turns away wrath. That's what the Bible says. But if they come up here and say something to me all bitter and nasty and with the root of bitterness and hatred and, you know, just like condemning me, because people can condemn you even without, you know, so much condemning you, you know, like front out. They have a way with their words. People have a way of belittling you and so such nice nasty. That's what we call it. You know, they can turn that person away. And you know, and the sad part that really perplexes my spirit is that all the people that we say that they're sinners and they should have been received the grace of God and come to God, and why are they still doing what they're doing, and why, and blah, 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 blah. You know what we really should be doing is pointing fingers at the saints. That's what we should be doing, ourselves. What am I doing? Am I the root of the reason why that person have not come in? A lot of people don't even want to come to church no more because of the stuff that's happened in the church and how the church have come out and started to act and do the things that, you know, that they should not be doing. And I hate to say the church because that classifies everyone. But you know what? I'm going to say the church because whether it's one person in the church or the whole entire body, but we are a body. We represent a unity. So when one does something, it makes all of us look the same.
It really does. And the whole thing is that all of us have to examine ourselves. We all have to examine ourselves. I mean, none of us have lived a perfect life on this earth, not near one of us. There's point in times where, you know, we make mistakes, we do things that we're not supposed to do, we say things we're not supposed to say, we react in ways that we're not supposed to react. And what we need to do is we need to repent of that sin. Confess that sin and repent of it. Confession and repentance are not the same thing. Some people say, I'm sorry for doing X, Y, Z, but they don't repent. They don't stop doing it. They turn right around and do it again. But again, self-examination. Self-examination is key. It's key. We have to examine ourselves, okay? We don't want to be out here preaching the gospel. I believe somebody, my husband said that earlier in a chat room. We don't want to be finding ourselves a castaway. We don't want to be finding ourselves as we did all of this, and now we're cast away. We can't even get into the kingdom. We're preaching to everybody else and telling everybody else what they're supposed to do, and then here we are stuck outside of the doors like the five foolish virgins because we weren't ready. Our lamps weren't trimmed. We weren't prepared for the return of the bridegroom. But, I mean, we can say things to people without it being judgment, but because so many people want to say, oh, well, you're judging me, you're judging me. That's a new flavor now. You're judging me. I mean, nobody can say anything to you now. You're judging me. The older women are supposed to teach the younger women how to live godly. The older women are supposed to teach the younger women how to be holy women. But you can't say things to people now. Oh, no, why are you trying to tell me, that's not for me. No, you judging me. You say, no, I'm not judging you, honey. I'm sitting here and I'm speaking to you and letting you know that, you know, you're a young lady. Your dress shouldn't be all the way up to there, okay? That causes men to do, you know, and think, you know, allows mm-hmm. the spirit of lust to come in and do what the spirit of lust wants to do. People don't want to hear that. Who are you to tell me what I can wear to church? I wear what I want to church. Anybody, they shouldn't be looking at me like that anyway.
Well, I have to tell you about the experience. I believe I did share it with you. I was taking my son to the college. He goes to college, a local college here, and I was taking him to the college, and these young girls, you're very beautiful. I mean, when I tell you that, very beautiful. You know, had some rough edges like we all do. I can tell, you know, she had been beat up with words, you know, they had destroyed her and had low self-esteem. But see, God has given us the ability to have things revealed to us through the Spirit. So the way a person look in there now, we don't necessarily see that. We see their finished product or, you know, where God is taking them. And she's a very beautiful young lady. And I just only wanted to encourage her. So I slowed the car down slowly and stopped. She had on this short skirt. I mean, when I tell you it was short, it was short. It looked like it was just a piece of towel. It was just, you know, we're not even talking about a bath towel. We're talking about like a little washcloth. Like she had them wobbled two or three washcloths together. It was so little. And she had on these stockings. And on the side of the stockings, it had the word that signifies what we all know is known as a female dog. Literally, real big and bold on the side of the stocking. And I'm rolling the window down. I'm like, little girl, are you aware you are so pretty? And I say, why do you wear that advertising yourself? That's not you. God don't think of you like that. Oh, my Lord, you would have thought that I would have called her that. She went off like a ticking time bomb. just, you know?
Yeah.
What I was saying to her, the enemy did not want her to hear that because she was so used to people beating her up, saying things, you know, to belittle her, things that were just not even, you know, of God. And I'm just only trying to encourage her, trying to plant seeds in her life, let her know. But you know what? Let me tell you what God did. God did not stop there. So we get up to our drive on it's like three or four police was out there. And she was just still walking and fussing and cussing by the time she got there. Because naturally, the police only saw this red car stop talking to this girl. This girl get upset. You know, it looks pretty bad. So one of the officers, I slowed down and I told the officer we come to the car. He said yes. And I told him, you know, exactly what had happened and explained what was going on. I was trying to encourage him. I said, why do you all allow that to happen? Does the president of this campus even permit that in the code, in the books for the kids to be advertising stuff like that, that vulgarity? I don't even think that they even allow that to happen. Somebody needs to reach her. And I told him, I say, you being a male, I can assure you that this woman did not have a male figure to love her in her life. I need for you to go over there and talk to her like a father figure or a big brother. Let her know before she leaves that she is loved and God loves her. You're a Christian. You ain't even open up your mouth to say it. You love the Lord. I know you do. I can see it bleed through your pores. I can see it. I can sense it. My spirit is bearing witness with yours. And he said, yes, ma'am, I am. He said, I'm a devout Christian. I said, well, you know what? I've done my part. I can only do so much. Now I need for you to go over there and do your part. Go over there and talk to her. Do whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. Speak whatever the Holy Spirit is telling you to speak. Your words can carry so much farther than mine because it's not so much that it was a woman or whatever she got a problem with. You know, a lot of people have said bad things to her, but you being a male figure, you can take that authority and that atmosphere and arrest it, and you can seize the opportunity. And he said, yes, ma'am, I will. Before he got over there to do it, I saw the other police officer. He was already over there consoling her. But see, I had did my part, what God required me to do that morning. I didn't just leave off of that campus. It was troubling me. It troubled me the moment I looked at it. And then not to mention I was on the phone talking with Pastor Bell at the moment, so I already knew that it was all orchestrated by God. I had a witness on the phone. Pastor Bell heard me. I said, hold on, Pastor Bell, while I was talking to her. So, you know, even if they try to say, well, you know, you can't be doing, you know, no. The Holy Spirit already had a witness there, so I was in line. But it's just a matter of just flowing with the Spirit. God is a God of decency and in order, just flowing with the Spirit. And I just truly believe, I haven't seen that young lady anymore, you know, any morning that I dropped my son off. But I just truly believe that, you know, her life was changed that day. She may not have instantly, you know, she may not didn't have any more clothes to wear. I don't know. She may not.
That could have been the case. That could have been the case.
But because she didn't have any more clothes to wear or whatever, does that justify why her attitude had to be that way?
No.
I don't know. I really don't.
It's just people got a lot of hurt inside of them, and they don't know how to deal with it. So lashing out is one way. And people sometimes don't have people to talk to who can understand, because sometimes you just need a person to listen. And they might sound crazy. They might sound like they, you know, need to go seek professional help or whatever the case is. But sometimes people just need to allow somebody to just listen to them and let it be. Okay, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. And, you know, they just need to listen. Some people can get over whatever they're going through by just listening, by having somebody to listen to them. Let me say this before we do take a break. My husband is in the chat room, and he's saying a lot of things in reference to, he's talking about sin, and I'm going all the way back up for a little bit. I'm going up. Okay, as far as it'll let me go. Brother Dre said, Jesus said, go and sin no more. My husband said, if we refuse to forgive everyone, are we living a holy life? If we get on the phone to a bill collector and lie about our situation, are we living a holy life? Brother Dre said, no. My husband says, if we have to cut folk down who have cut us down, are we living righteously? Brother Dre, nope. Well, he's got question marks. G-Man Scott said, he is answering my questions, purified. Okay, anyway, my husband says, okay, Christian, each of us need to look at these questions and ask ourselves if we are guilty. Have you ever tried to pull a fraud on the bill collector? Are you holding on to unforgiveness towards anyone? Look inside deep before answering. And my response to a lot of the stuff was all sin and falling short of the glory of God. Nobody has made the mark perfectly. None of us are perfect. I mean, if we say we're perfect, I don't want to know you. I don't want to be around you because none of us are perfect, okay? We still have these flesh bodies that we live in. We are not perfect. We sin. When we do sin, we need to confess our sin, and we need to repent. We need to turn away from that thing. and not continue to use it as an excuse. Oh, well, you know, God knows this is me, this is how I am, and he knows that I can't stop doing this because my mama was like that or my daddy was like that, yada, yada, whatever. Okay? So when we come back from the break, I have some scriptures that I want to read, and they're pertaining to the Holy Spirit. And if you have a paper and pencil, I would like for you to write these scriptures down. These are scriptures pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we're going to take a pause right now and go to a song. So if anybody else has any questions in the chat room, make your questions known in the chat room and we will address them. But right now we're going to go to a song. So we'll see you in about a few minutes.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idol. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all.
Scriptures on the Holy Spirit is because I remember when Purified Daughter had spoken before on one of the broadcasts, and she was talking about the Holy Spirit and how we just don't utilize the Holy Spirit at all. We just act like he's not a part of the Godhead. You know, we just disregard him. And I have some scriptures here, John 14, John 15, John 16, Romans 8, Jude 1, and John 16. And we're going to read them, okay? At the moment, we're going to open the phone line for a few minutes. If anybody is in the chat room, if you want to get on the phone line, you may do so at this time. If you have anything to add that you would like to hear, I mean, that you would like to say on the phone line so that everybody can hear you, please give us a call at 323-693-3054. That's 323-693-3054. After you call, push the number 1, and we will know that you would like to speak live on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Oh, not bad. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank you.
I've been really active in the chat room tonight.
Yes. Turn your volume down on your thing so
okay.
I can hear it.
I just put it a little thing in there.
Right.
My little earphones. You can't hear that.
All right.
Okay. Is everything okay now?
Everything is fine. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wanted just to speak about, before you, I guess I'm going to preface your statements about the Holy Spirit and the scriptures that you're going to be referring to by just stating, and I guess, and I'm sure the scriptures will bear out what I'm going to say, that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as is the Father and the Son. I remember in the book of Acts chapter 5 when Sapphira and her husband sold the rights of what God has given them, their gifts for money. And the apostles told them, they said, you didn't do this against us. You did this against the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on in the 2 verses down, identifying who the Holy Spirit is. They said, you did this unto God. So the Holy Spirit is God working in the world today. If we respected what God did as Father in the Old Testament, and we revere and respect what the Son of God through Christ Jesus did in the New Testament, then we have to just as much, if not, I guess, even a little more, respect, honor, and revere and go to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, and that's why Christ himself said, that he that blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it is a sin that will not be forgiven, because the Holy Spirit is the comforter, the paraclete, the Ruach HaKodesh that's going to come and help you in your journey during this dispensation, the dispensation of grace. I'm going back to sit on the right hand of God the Father. The Father is already sitting on the throne. It is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, God himself, that will come down on earth and continue to do what the Father did, what the Son did, and now the Holy Spirit is doing. We need to understand this in its fullness, exactly who the Holy Spirit is, that if you believe in God at all now, you have to recognize God in the Holy Spirit. How can you say you believe in God and don't turn to the Holy Spirit, who is God in the world today? So we lift up, and so we should. The Word teaches that too, both the Father and the Son. But it also teaches we need to revere. And look what happened to those two that we mentioned before in the Book of Acts. Because they did disrespect and lied to the Holy Spirit, they both died. They both died in this physical realm. And not talking about the spiritual realm, I'm sure they're living the second death there too. But they both died in the physical realm because they dishonored the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives groanings. It's the Holy Spirit that gives moanings. It's the Holy Spirit that intercedes on our behalf. It's the Holy Spirit that leads us, that guides us, that directs us away from this mundane shores and this sinful nature to a higher plane of holiness. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. It taps into our spirit and allows it to reign over both our bodies and our souls. It's the Holy Spirit that does that. So I just wanted to emphasize the significance and the importance and the paramount place that the Holy Spirit plays in the world today. The Holy Spirit's God. The Holy Spirit is God in the world today. And you can't say that you believe in God and ignore the Holy Spirit. Thank you, evangelist. I'll now listen to what you have to say. Thank you. God bless.
I love you, G-Man Scott.
I love you too, right?
Oh, he is so awesome.
God bless you guys.
No, you know, we had just got quiet because, see, you know how evangelists say she going to always let you and I do a show together. I'm like, no, you're going to let him do a show and I'm going to learn.
I know, but we get rolling, bro. But it's good. It's good that we're passionate for the thing we need to be passionate about, and we hold strong to those things that we need to hold strong about. And not waver as the wind, as when the wind blows, not waver to and fro, but stand firm on our beliefs, because the wind's going to blow, and it's going to try us over and over again. But it's that same Holy Spirit I just talked about a moment ago, that same Holy Spirit that will mortify the flesh, stand with us through the storm, and lead us through the storm as well.
Yes, he's our everything. You know, what was the name of that book? I think it was in September the 14th, the 12th, the 14th, the 12th, I believe, was that Monday, the 14th, that Wednesday, when we talked about the Holy Spirit and who he was and what his role was in our lives. So if they want to go back to
that
would be awesome teaching. But Evangelist talked about a book also on that.
Holy Spirit, my senior partner.
Yeah.
They're my senior partner, right?
Senior, y'all. That's the key word right
there. He's not the junior partner, and we're the senior. It's the opposite way. It's the other way around.
He's co-pilot.
He's the senior partner, yes.
He's not the co-pilot.
Exactly. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And the author was talking about how he talks to the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned to you that I do that. I still do that every single day. And we talked about how people go, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God is so good. But no one ever say anything about the Holy Spirit.
And that was placed right on my spirit tonight, too, purified. As you said that, I know that's a confirmation. Because he dropped it as I was talking about it. He just dropped it in my spirit. Just what you said, that we're never going to lift up the Holy Spirit in its rightful place until we start lifting him up.
And then
putting him in his proper perspective, we'll never worship him the way we're supposed to. As long as we just go to the two and forget about the third, who is just as much God as the other two, he'll never rank along with the Father and the Son in our hearts and in our minds until we begin to lift him up, acknowledge him, praise him, give glory and honor to him, because he is God in the world today. Why not give praise and glory to him?
Amen.
Why not?
And you know, G-Man Scott, what it shows is that they are unequally yoked with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God said in the book of Genesis 1:26 and 1:27, he said, let us create man in our image. He wasn't just talking about the us, which was him and Jesus. No, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. For a matter of fact, he mentioned the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 1, when he talked about how the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the earth, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the earth. That was the Holy Spirit. He was already there also.
And then when he breathed into man, it was the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that entered into us. The Jewish mystics say this, that each of us have a spark of divinity in us, which means each of us have a bit of the Holy Spirit within us. Mm-hmm. When he breathed into us, he breathed his spirit into us. The spirit is the breath. In fact, Ruach HaKodesh means breath. The breath of God was breathed into us, and then we became a living soul.
Exactly.
We were nothing but clay, inanimate, unalive, formed, yes, but not alive, until he breathed into us a bit of his Holy Spirit. Because it had to be holy. He breathed into us. It was a spirit from him. So you know it had to be holy and spiritual and perfect. A bit of us is of that spirit is in us.
But you know, G-Man Scott, that was a shouting moment right there. For somebody who didn't know how to get that shot on, sitting on the end of my seat right here. That's a shouting moment. That was a revelational moment. So simplicity right there. It was just so simple, but it was so powerful. I mean, just God himself, when he speaks to us through his spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 said that the things God reveals to us is through the spirit. For the spirit searches everything, even the depths of God.
Yes.
We can't even communicate with God without the spirit.
Thank you. Because there's things we don't even know how to communicate with God. God is spirit, and we're still wrapped up in flesh. So there's some things we can't even communicate to God about us. Because there is still the separation, but there still is a uniqueness between the two. He's pure spirit, we're spirit and flesh. So the only person, and I wish we would stop even calling it a thing, because when Gabriel called it a thing, he did not mean it like a thing, like an inanimate, unimportant item. And sometimes we look at him as the thing. The Holy Spirit is the thing. Christ is a person, the Father is a person, and then we got the thing.
Something told me.
Mm-hmm.
Something said.
I know that it says. Something told me to be.
Thank you. Something said. Something told me. But when Christ says something, that's when we acknowledge, well, it was Christ that said this, or God revealed this to me, but then something said this, or something did that, or something whispered in my ear, or something led me right, or something. It wasn't no something. It was the Holy Spirit tapping into your old dumb spirit to get you right.
You know, I stop them right there in their tracks when they get to talk. Sister, you know, something told me to tell you. I said, well, you know what? You need to go back and find out what that something was.
I love it.
I don't communicate with no thing. Everything I communicate with got a living soul.
Thank you.
They got a purpose. So what you talking to don't have no purpose. I don't even want to hear what it has to say.
It'll be a demon, something. I mean, what is that something?
You know, God, everything God created has purpose.
Yes, it did.
God himself was purpose. Jesus had purpose. The Holy Spirit has purpose. We all have purpose.
Exactly.
So if you're talking to a thing,
it has no purpose.
I don't even want to hear what the thing has said.
That's right. A thing, it changes from one thing to another thing. That's what a thing does. It changes.
But
one
you know,
thing
that,
to
that,
another.
But that gives them hopefully something to think about. It really does. Okay, you just stop right there. What are you communicating with?
Amen.
Who are you fellowshipping with? Who are you sleeping with? Now, that goes back to Evangelist Scott. Top it up there from, harlot to holiness.
Hold the holy.
Yeah, who are you sleeping with? Who are you having intercourse with? Because if you're having
a spiritual, immaculate
intercourse with God, then maybe you're about to burst something into the earth. But you have intercourse with that thing over there, that something that talked to you, and I don't want to have nothing to do with it.
Unless that something is God, which the Holy Spirit is, I don't want to hear what that something told you about me. Because that something could have led you astray and told me something so far out of this world. It's going to take me a lifetime to get back in it. You know what I mean? That's something of yours. They got me so far out there. It's going to take me the rest of my life to get back to the right place.
Yeah, people talking about something said. There's other voices out there talking.
That's it.
You got your own voice. You got
that's,
the
yes.
voice of demons.
Mm-hmm. Devil himself.
The voice of other people, and you got the Holy Spirit.
That's
you
right.
You got to know which voice you're listening to. Come on, something said.
Something said.
You know, and I'm about to drop a little small nugget right now, Anna.
Oh.
You know it. It's coming. First of all, praise God. Hallelujah. God is awesome. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This
okay.
is the thing right here. You want to know, you want to distinguish between those voices. You know, first of all, when it's God's voice, God's going to take it to his word. He's going to communicate with you according to his
word. That's it.
When that thing voice is going to feed into what you already want to do, you know, that other thing there. You know, yourself. It's going to feed into your own ego.
Yes.
But when it's the Holy Spirit, baby, you're going to have to get into that quiet place.
I love
his voice is going to be the lowest echo of them all. It's going to be so low you can barely hear
yeah.
it. You're going to have to get in that quiet place. He's going to take you to a position of total peace. You will know when he is speaking because he is a gentleman.
Yep.
Yes,
no
he
confusion.
Is.
He's not going to force himself on us.
There's a door knock. Stands at the door and knocks. That's all he does. He has power to break down the door, tear down the house. But he stands at the door like a gentleman and knocks.
Ain't all that
and
confusion
and
all that other
that, no, you know, he don't do that. Mm-mm. Confusion, second guessing, and I wonder whether, and when you start, I wonder whether, pause, honey. Pause when you start wondering whether.
We like to do that when we want to sin. When we want to do a particular sin, we like to do that. I wonder if the Lord says that. I wonder if that was the Lord that told me not to go lay with that man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, they knew
the Lord.
We know we didn't supposed to have gone. You know, we knew we did not supposed to have gone over there. We like to have qualifiers. But you know what? The Bible is very clear. Let me tell you, I keep saying it over and over and over. The Bible teaches us everything we need to know. And Evangeline's just laughing. She's laughing her spirit. Just laughing in her spirit. The fruit of the spirit. Y'all get this. The fruit of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit of the spirit. That spirit is the Holy Spirit. These are his fruit. Joy.
And
gentleness. You know, this is how he's going to come to us. In his fruit is going to manifest. So if something coming to you while you're in a moment of confusion and you're having headaches and you just can't think straight and you just don't really know what to do, I can assure you that was not God's voice and it definitely wasn't the Holy Spirit.
And let me make this to purify that the Lord is speaking to my spirit right now. He said that he wants you to elaborate, not tonight because I know Evangelist has something else to do, but I want you to be able to elaborate on what people mistakenly call the fruits with an S of the Spirit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. All those things, kindness, patience, long-suffering, temperance, all those things are all part of the fruit, not fruits. Of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, and why that's important, that distinction of not many but one. Oh my God, the Holy Spirit saying that's what the Holy Spirit is. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
All of them was birthed.
All are one.
Love. Just one. All of them
only
come up out
God.
Of love,
only
though.
One God.
Just
we only one. Got one God. We don't have gods. We have one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So is that fruit of the Spirit. The same principle that one fruit holds within it. All those things, and I want you to elaborate. I want you to get into that one day, one of these nights, to really get into that. What are all the aspects of that fruit? And then correlate it maybe with a fruit. And what are all the parts of a fruit? What's all the parts of an apple that makes up an apple? What part can you do without in the apple that makes it no longer an apple? Same with the fruit of the Spirit. Take any one of those out, then the fruit, you know. So, I mean, the Lord just dropped it in me. So I want you to elaborate on that one of these nights. And I know Evangelist will give you a time to do that. But just drop it in my spirit because people so mistakenly quote the word and then they misquote the word all at the same time. Almost don't do what the devil does. Just quote and misquote at the same time.
Exactly, because I've never seen an apple come from a banana seed or a banana tree.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've never seen a grape fall off an orange tree. It's impossible.
Exactly.
It's highly, highly impossible.
And I've never seen a fruit only have one thing in it. A fruit has a core, a fruit has a seed, a fruit has a skin, a fruit has meat, fruit has this, fruit has that. It has a whole lot of things, but it's all. But we don't say all those things. We just say the name of the fruit.
Within
that fruit is all those other parts that make the fruit. Take the seed out, you don't have no apple. Take the core out, it's not an apple anymore. The skin, it's not an apple anymore. If it grows without a skin, that's not an apple. That's something that makes something that look like an apple, but it ain't an apple. But an apple has this, and an apple has that, and an apple has another to make it an apple.
Exactly. Exactly. That's amazing. Mm. And have you ever noticed that, Apostle G-Man Scott, that if you peel an apple and you lay the peeling down on the counter or something like that, you automatically know where it comes from?
Yep, yep, that's right.
It reflects back to what it is.
That just does.
So we cannot be out there caught up in sexual immorality and impurity and debauchery and idolatry and witchcraft and hatred and discord and jealousy and selfishness and bitterness and enviness and drunken and all that stuff and talking about some we of God. It's impossible. The Bible talks about how against such things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's the ceiling. Love is the beginning of it. Self-control is the ceiling of it.
That's it.
Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So now, this right here goes way back to the beginning tonight when we were talking about why do people do the things that they do?
That whole holy.
You have not crucified your
sinful nature. That's right. And the word in Romans 8:13, it says, and there's some things we can't crucify ourselves. We have to allow the Holy Spirit. Once again, the Holy Spirit pops up every time, doesn't it? It always pops up. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we can mortify some of these deeds that we do. Only through the Holy Spirit can we mortify some of these deeds. They're too strong for us in our human flesh. Those things have become really part of our nature, if you will. The only way we're gonna get rid of generational curses is through the Holy Spirit. It's not through us. Those genes and DNA are too strong for us to overcome them. But the Holy Spirit, thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit can help us and can do it. Not just, it says through the Holy Spirit, he's not just helping us here. He's actually doing it for us.
Hmm.
If it's through him, he's not helping us, if it's through him.
But you know what? You just cannot decide that you want to go out and, here it is. I sure wish Brother Dre was on the phone because he's gonna like this. He'll want to talk about this because I believe Brother Dre said he was from the Pentecostal church.
Yeah,
they fall out and say they got drunk. No, you didn't get drunk off the spirit. You still have a hangover from the night before when you were out at the club.
See. Mm-mm.
Stay away. Can't mix the two. See, one thing about the Spirit of God, you when you have a discerning spirit, you can't manipulate someone with a discerning spirit.
No.
God allows us to see. And you coming up there and you may be smelling like whatever kind of cologne, perfume. I don't wear a lot of perfume because of allergies. But whatever they have on. But you know what? The alcohol, that whatever they call it, it's known as spirit too. That you know, it's spirit. That's what they have down in the stores when you pass by. It has a very strong smell. It makes itself known. Now that's an it. It makes itself known.
Oh yes.
And people get up there and they go, "Oh, I was slung in the spirit." No, you still got a hangover. You just you got a hangover. You can't stand up straight. Can't walk straight. Can't talk straight. You still kind of drunken. You ain't drunken in the spirit with a capital S. You drunken in the spirit with a little S. And when they fall down to my, "Oh, I was slain in the spirit." Yeah, that small S spirit did slang them. it slums you off your feet. You could no longer stand your balance, and you could no longer take your ground and authority in the earth as God has given us to take the authority. You have surrendered over the authority. So please don't get me started tonight.
No, Brother Dre said he's a holy roller.
A holy roller.
Holy roller will not get on the phone so we can talk to the holy roller.
Because he's out there,
he's out there somewhere.
He'd
be rolling around in the church.
Rolling around in the church. In the spirit.
Brother Drake can't talk with, you know, Brother Drake can't get on the phone and talk with all of us on the line. I mean, come on now. You, Apostle G-Man, and myself, that don't leave room for anyone. Just let's just be real.
No, see, I will be quiet. We have 20 minutes left. 25 minutes left, and I was sure enough.
Come on, Brother Dre. Come on now. I'm the only man.
Come
on, get me in.
I will be quiet. I promise you. Until 5 minutes of, I will be quiet. Brother Dre, come on. You got the floor. Because I told you I was Pentecostal, too, so I was on the floor, too. All right. He not biting.
he ain't draw me into this thing, eh?
Okay, now let's just say that not everybody rolling around on the floor is drunk, though. They're not everybody rolling around on the floor or slain in the spirit is not having a moment of last minute intoxication, you know, or what do you call it? Hangover. Everybody not having a hangover. Some people just get lost in the spirit. I guess that's a way to say. I don't know. Some people, I believe, some people do get slain in the spirit. But
it's not gonna leave them staggering, and when they get slunk in the spirit, it's gonna lead them to wanting more of God. It's gonna lead them to pick up their Bible and read the Bible more. It's gonna lead them to worship more. It's gonna lead them to live a lifestyle of more sanctification and purification.
It sure isn't
gonna lead them to go back out there to drink some more and do some other stuff.
And not at all. Not at all.
No.
See, that's the difference between the slang and the big S. And slang in a little S.
Yeah, because if you get slain in the spirit and your behind fall out in that floor, when you get back up, you're not going to be quite the same than you was when you went back down.
That's right.
When you went down there. There's going to be some kind of difference when you come back up.
It should be.
That's like I said, when I first got baptized, I went down a dry devil and came up a wet one. There was no change. There was no difference. I was still cuckoo and doing what I wanted to do and, you know, living life the way I wanted to live life. So just because I went down in that water and got wet didn't mean anything because my heart hadn't changed. I hadn't changed my mind about anything that I was doing. I was messed up.
And I told you I was baptized probably about 50 times.
Oh, wow.
I just couldn't get it. You know, they told me that in order to get the gift of speaking in tongues, you have to be baptized, and I wanted the gift to be speaking in tongues because I knew that Brother Dre is on the line. Yay! I knew that once I got that gift that I was going to be changed, so I kept going down, and I don't want to speak in nothing but silliness. Let's bring Brother Dre on the line.
I done hit it, honey. Brother Dre.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I am a holy roller.
That's why he couldn't get on the phone line.
He was rolling.
I am from Ohio, the tip of West Virginia, where the Holy Roller Movement began.
That's right, old West Virginia.
I like
where,
that Holy Roller.
Virginia. Mountain.
What questions you got on being a Pentecostal?
What'd you say?
I said, what questions do you have about being a Pentecostal? You got one on the line.
I have one, Brother Dre. I do. Brother Dre, please explain to me why is the misconception people always believe that you're supposed to dance in the spirit, and how does that reflect back to talking about I'm a Pentecostal?
Ah, okay. Okay.
What it means dancing in the spirit? Tell them what it means dancing in the spirit.
Psalms 150, verse 4, it says, praise him with the tremble and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Okay, now Samuel chapter 6, 1 verses all the way to 22. Now, King David was so elated that he danced and lost all his clothes while he danced before the Lord. And there was no coolness about the way he danced. He danced until his clothes fell off. Now, his wife told him that he should be ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. You got some more scriptures. I just gave you some more scriptures. So more questions.
Okay, now, the way people dance before the Lord, I'm using air quotes, the way people dance before the Lord nowadays, I don't know what y'all doing, y'all Pentecostal church over there. But I've been in churches when I've seen people saying they dance before the Lord, and they done tore the church up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean, tore the church up? Were they dancing all around church? I've seen a man one time dancing out on the church pew, the chairs. I mean, he was just acting like a monkey running all throughout the church. And I'm just sitting there looking like, God, is that you? So what do you mean dancing around the church?
Just what you just said.
Now, like I said, King David lost all his inhibitions.
That
he danced until his clothes fell off.
Okay, but busting holes in the walls and knocking people upside the head.
Well, like
you
said, not all of
control.
It. Not all of it now. Like I said, now there are parts of West Virginia where them folks be pulling snakes out and they be drinking poison to prove
that. Is that of God, though?
No.
That drinking poison, of course not. Of course not, that stuff, no. No.
That's
cool. But like
that's I said, getting into the people. That's a cult, y'all.
That's tempting God. Why are you tempting God?
Yes.
That's
so, like
not
said.
Tempt the Lord thy God.
No,
but
like
Brother
that.
Dre, what if I start... when the pastor is up there preaching, I mean, this goes on in the Pentecostal church, too. Now, you know, the Pentecostal is notorious for people dancing in the spirit and speaking in tongues. They don't have no order. I remember one lady one time
had a
wire hanger, one of those plastic hangers you get from the laundry when you take your clothes to the cleaners, and she had one of those old washboards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, like, when the choir is going to come out?
We'll have choirs.
Where the praise and
pulpit. You got people slain in the spirit. You got people trying to hold people up while they're trying to get anointed with oil.
But I'm gonna tell you, the Pentecostal church, y'all don't know how to. They don't know how to close the doors of the church. I'm serious. They be in there from morning up to sundown. And worse than Baptist church. I'm not down to nobody. Let me put that out there right now. My son made a comment the other day. Mama, we need to go to a Baptist church on Sunday because they feed you at the church. I say, you're going to get fed, but it won't be no earthly food. You know? But Pentecostal people, I grew up Pentecostal, I told you. And our version of holiness was my grandmother made me wear these long skirt looking like Mother Teresa. Like, that wasn't enough. She got a sheet with all these big old pins and top pins, and you didn't have AC in there. You had those funeral home fans fanning with them. I was about to die. It was horrible. And she was like, well, this is going to teach you holiness. And I had the audacity to stand up to my grandma, it's hot in here. This ain't going to teach you holiness, old man. You would have thought that I blasphemed me against the Holy Spirit.
I bet she smacked you a couple times.
No, you know, she didn't smack me. You know what? She made me wear white undergarments for a long time until I knew how to keep them clean. I had come wear anything color. They had to be white. And they had to be white. I'm not going to go into detail, but females, you know what I'm talking about. They had to be white every day of the month.
Mm.
Okay? You know how hard that was? Mm. During certain times, white undergarments. And I was not permitted to speak or say anything in the church no more until I can bring her a clean pair of white undergarments after I had worn them and not stained them.
Mm.
That was my punishment. That wasn't enough. That summer, I had to go work in the pea field. And y'all know how I feel with that hair tucked and scarf on my head to my business slavery.
That's
awesome. It was horrible. So I learned to just hush. And when she died, I start back talking, and I haven't stopped.
She waited till she died first.
Oh, yeah.
You Now, you also mentioned something about speaking in tongues. Now, Paul says himself, he says, forbid not to speak in tongues. So that came from Apostle Paul.
So, but what is the appropriate time to speak in tongues? And when do you supposed to have someone that'll translate it, though? The Bible also talks about that. So
There's three different types of tongues. There's tongues that was first given on the day of Pentecost, and that's when this Holy Spirit came down, and it gave them the ability to go out and speak to everybody in that area that spoke different languages. It gave the people that were anointed by the Holy Spirit the gift of speaking to everyone in each in their own language. That's one version of tongues. Now there's a version of tongues in which you can prophesy in, and you would need somebody else there that has the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now there's the third type of tongues in which that's the one that you pray in your spirit, and only God understands the what's being said. The Spirit is assisting you in prayer. So there's actually three different types of tongues. But now, like I said, when is the appropriate time? Now, Paul says that we're not, like, if you call into Blog Talk Radio and there's people speaking in tongues as they preaching and all that. Now, Paul says we're not supposed to do it in public because the average person or the unbeliever is not going to understand what's going on, and it's just going to confuse them. And so Paul himself says just don't do it out in public. You know, you can do it amongst the believers because that are filled with the Spirit because they know that's what's going on. So the people that you hear that.
How does one know when they have been filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, I'm saying this, we only have a few minutes left, but when I was, the part of my life when I was in the Baptist church, the people in my foster home, you know, they believed that when you got baptized, when you went down in the water and came back up, then you was automatically filled with the Holy Ghost, and you never, if you never, ever, ever spoke in tongues, that's okay because you still had the Holy Ghost. And he believed that until he died. He didn't want me to speak in tongues at all because they called me back later in life to come and speak at their church. And he was like, that thing you do, don't do that here.
I had a Baptist deacon one time to escort me to the front door. I wasn't even speaking in, I mean, I'm just standing in my seat, and the Spirit of Lord come upon me, and, you know, it was just uncontrollably. And I'm like, you know, I know what the Scripture says. I'm trying not to let it come out. I'm just, like, in my seat. And he walked up. He said, you know, you're too holy for this church. And he said, I'm going to have to walk you to the front door. We can't have that going on here in this church. And I'm looking like, I wanted to say, you know, you're too unholy for me. I don't even want to be in this church. You know, but I didn't.
Brother Dre, how would you speak to someone who has accepted Jesus as their Lord but has never spoken in tongues but desires to speak in tongues?
That desires to speak in tongues? There's basically two ways. You can always just pray for it. Or if you have another person that has already been filled with the Holy Spirit, they can do the laying on of hands to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of churches, they try to do things to finagle around that. They're like, have you come to the altar and you got to kneel at the altar and you just got to keep saying something like hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
They call that tarrying.
Apostolic do that, So, like I said, some people try to make you think that you got it, but you don't. You just get tired of just sitting there saying that, and you just tell them, yeah, I got it.
You know. You say something that sound like what you've heard before.
Oh, yeah. Some folk be on to Rosetta Stone, be out there speaking in French, and you think they speaking in tongues. Okay, I didn't say that.
That's the first type of tongue he's talking about. And Pentecost speaking in those known language to people.
It'd be already a learned language, though. You're not even though they be speaking French. or taking Spanish. I'm like, aren't you saying C? Don't let me yet. I mean, come on now. But, you know, I think, first of all, they need to really realize that no one person, I personally don't believe, have all the gifts. I mean, if I'm wrong, y'all correct me. I stand to be corrected. We need to know that don't confuse the spirit as a gift with the gifts of the spirit. People often refuse those all the time. The spirit as a gift and the gifts of the spirit. They need to know the difference between the two. First and foremost, they need to, when we ask for the gift of speaking in tongues and all that, so y'all, our lifestyle has to add up and line up. Just like having the gift of prophecy. You're not going to be out there prophesying with a lying tongue. You're going to be prophesying. Our lifestyle kind of add up. Go ahead, Brother Dre. I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me ask you that. You don't actually have to have the fire baptism. You mean, once you're saved and you believe God and you keep having the blood cleanse you, you know, the filling of or the fire baptism is something extra. You know, it's not something that's required. So if you just a Baptist or a different denomination,
But wait a minute, I'm finna come to the rescue of the Baptists. The Baptists came a long ways back from in the days now. Baptist folks is ordaining women. They speaking in tongues. Billy Graham never spoke in tongues. And I don't hope that, fell upon the anointing that was inside of him. So, you know, I want people to be, it comes down to a matter of belief. Let me just change the
fire baptism. What is the fire baptism?
The fire baptism is, that's what they call the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's when the feeling gets so full, it comes out of you. It comes out of you. So you're like, when you're saved, you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Now, the filling of the Holy Spirit is receiving extra power. It's receiving like an extra anointing. Kind of like when Elijah asked for a double portion of what he had.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. You know what, Brother Drake, could this be a true saying right here? You know, when the Lord predicted the gift of the tongues, you know, tongues and mentioned the tongues in the four gospel record, he said that I believe it was in Mark 16:17, he talked about, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, I believe, devil demons, and they shall speak with new tongues. Is it possible that a person that say they have the Holy Spirit and has not started to speak with tongues, that they may have an issue with their level of belief?
Oh, so you're saying that
that they don't believe that they could receive the gift? That, you know, there could be some fear there or some belief issues going on there, something that's hindering them. Because I refuse to believe that if speaking in tongues comes along with the Holy Spirit, he's not just going to come and leave that behind and it just come later. I just don't think that he'll do that.
It's possible. It's not, like I said, it's not that a person has to speak in tongues, you know. You still got the Holy Spirit
in tongues. What's the purpose of speaking in tongues? Yeah, then the Bible talks about after they, the day of Pentecost and they was in the upper room and they started speaking katong, and then, after they received it, then the power. Doesn't the power comes along with, them receiving the Holy Spirit, and the power is simply speaking in tongues? Why should they not want it if it carries that much more weight and significant for them to be able to walk out the purpose of God in the earth for their lives and to be a witness for other people?
You're saying, why would a person not want it?
Yeah.
Is that what,
I mean, they should desire it. They should desire, I mean, not so much as speaking in tongues corporately, openly, but just have the gift of speaking in tongues, period, because of the it edifies also and builds them up in themselves.
Mm.
So what could we tell someone that say, I really want it, but I ain't got it yet?
You ain't got it yet? Well, just take your time to pray about it. What can we tell them? You know, like I said, some people don't want it. Like, you know, like the Baptist church I had volunteered to drive for, you know, they, you know, like pretty much a lot of other people, you know, they make fun of, you know, like Pentecostal beliefs and stuff like that. And it's just that they don't want it. You know, I mean, it's available to them. But
so if somebody
wants
to pray for the Holy Ghost.
I couldn't. And what's that again?
If somebody wants to pray for the Holy Ghost, like, is there a model prayer? What would they say? Lord, Father, I just want the Holy Ghost. Can you give it to me?
That's what
if
I would pray.
Believe,
I would just pray that, you know, I would pray for it and just wait for it to happen, because I believe it's going to happen if you really want it. Then, if you know, you're going to have to, like, to me, you just got to relax your mind and just let go and just enjoy, especially like it usually comes when you're in worship service, and you're so relaxed, then it just comes upon you.
And tell them this, now, you have to do this right here too, now, Brother Dre. When you want to eat, you don't just go and sit to the table with your mouth closed.
Mm-hmm.
You don't be sitting there with your mouth closed trying to stick food in your mouth while it's closed. At least help the Holy Spirit out. Do your part. If you want to give, don't be sitting there with your mouth closed, because you know the enemy already going to be trying to talk to your mind saying you ain't going to get nothing. Just open up your mouth, and something is destined to come out. Something is stirring up inside of your belly. It's a gift, and it's in there, but at least do something. You know, you got
something,
your mouth open, and you're just there, you know, just waiting in a spirit of expectancy to do something. You're just standing there, you know, just not doing anything.
Well, can I just interject one thing? I'm an AME. I was born and raised for 47 years. I was AME all my life, virtually, and which is Methodist, which is even more stringent than Baptist. I mean, we're the other side of Episcopalian. But nevertheless, in fact, AME means that African Methodist Episcopal Church. So, and of course, that was not when we had people. When I was young, there was nobody spoke in tongues. Nobody in my church spoke in tongues. No one, you know, from the pastor right on down to the child, the smallest child. No one did, nor did I. And most of my life, I didn't. And then I retired from AME Church, and I associated with a pastor in Delaware that was his background was apostolic, though he started his own church. And he wanted me to join in with him. So I joined in with him, and in fact, I even started a church under his banner. And then he took me into his office, and he told me that he wanted me to now start speaking in tongues. And he did what you're saying. He said, just start saying some words, you know. And just keep on saying it, keep on saying it, keep on saying it, keep on saying it. And I just couldn't, I didn't feel right in doing that. I tried, yes, I did, because he was my bishop, and I wanted to, you know, to do as he what he required me to do. But as I kept on doing it, I didn't feel it. I just told him, I just said, I can't keep on doing this. I mean, I'm playing with God. I mean, I'm not really speaking in tongues. I don't even feel like I'm speaking in tongues. I feel like I'm trying to satisfy you.
What did the book of Acts chapter 2 and 4 say?
90 seconds.
Yeah,
what that mean is that when they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We may need to continue this another night, because I'm learning some stuff now, too.
But let me say this. And final thought, I did end up speaking in tongues, but it was in my wife's living room. So in fact, it was dying.
I did end up speaking in tongues.
Years later, this was 1995, 1999, I ended up speaking in tongues. Myself, not through intimidation, not through coercion. But the Holy Spirit did come into me, and I started speaking in tongues.
It came.
I've been doing it ever since.
That's right. Ever since, yep.
Well, yeah. You know, I want the gift of divers of tongue. That's what I want the Holy Spirit to give. For what reason, I don't know yet, but I just want it. I just want everything. I want everything God has to give. I want all the gifts. I just want to be a greedy little child at all.
You just want to be an apostle. You just want to walk by and people get healed by your shadow, huh?
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I want for real. I don't think I've gone through enough tests in the earth to carry that message yet, but I want it. I don't want to lay hands. I just want the shadow to come by and say, "Help me, Jesus, in the name of Jesus."
10 seconds. Glory to God. We want to thank Brother Dre, Purified Daughter, G-Man Scott, everybody who was on the phone lines, everybody in the chat room, everybody's going to listen in the archives. Tonight is the night before Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, and God bless you. Y'all can keep talking if you want to, because it's broadcast.
And come back on Saturday and tell how thankful they were, and don't be coming back to my side, fell asleep, all the tetracycline in turkey.
You know what?
Not far too much. Come back and say how thankful you are.
Yes,
I love y'all.
Be thankful Saturday.
Yeah, I know it's been a while since I've been on, so I had to spread my wild oats, but I love you.
Thankful Saturday. Lord have mercy.
Praise God.
Are y'all on tomorrow morning, Brother Dre?
Every morning.
Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Yep.
What is that? Do I
tell you, I like that show. I'm looking forward to getting up to it. I set my alarm clock.
I heard that.
So hop up.
What time in the morning is it?
Seven.
Evangelist's neck is a bullet. I'm telling you, she shoot it right on out. I love what she be putting out there.
Dude's off the chain.
What's the number? Wait a minute. Don't say nothing. Where's my pen? Help me. Wait a minute, y'all. Let me do this.
Is it the 6? Let me see.